Hey guys, welcome to This Week in Tech. Oh wait, I'm just kidding. That's the wrong show. It's actually today we're gonna be talking about the internet gets fooled. Oh gosh, I pressed the wrong button. Guys, I pressed the wrong button. Anyways, oh, look at that. Oh, it had to restart the whole thing. Oh, for crying. I hope it doesn't do this a lot. Apparently my computer likes having difficulties. Thank you, Spectrum Internet, for not having the fastest, most consistent speeds and blaming it on a DNS server error. Anyways, hey Gadget here. You're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech gadgets and gaming news. That's right, this is the latest in tech news. My name is Taylor Merrick, and you're in for a treat. Today, we have some tech trivia to go over, today in tech history and more coming up, including, well, a couple of April Fool's Day jokes going on across the internet, article about Cloudflare adding a VPN, Pokemon Go, a new Call of Duty map, and the ultimate streamer showdown debate, Tfue versus Ninja. So, all that coming up and more, but before we can get to that, we always have to take a look and see about what's going on with the latest tech trivia, shall we? Alright, last episode, I asked you, what is the most common resolution live streamers broadcast at? Now, I asked this question out on Twitter, to the waiting masses, of which anybody can partake anytime. It's a public forum of discussion. And, well, it seemed I did a whole bunch of talking to the void, because I didn't get any answers back. So, the correct answer... to what is the most common resolution live streamers broadcast at is 720p. Now, obviously, that's for a reason across all platforms. And obviously, once you hit partner status or higher with Mixer, with Twitch, with any other streaming platform, then that's when you can start getting up into the high resolutions of 1080p and 4K. But then again, that's dependent on what your audience and viewers are watching at, which is typically 720 most of the time, if not on mobile, then 480. Only if you're lucky and you catch somebody on their computer, then you can bump it up to 1080p. But so there you go. Obviously, the best resolution is better, but it depends on how you're doing. So if you want to partake in this next trivia question that we have for you, you certainly can anytime. It's public. Here's how you do it. Submit your answer on Twitter by replying to the tweet with the question for today's trivia. We are at TechNewsGadget on Trivia. Also, the link to this tweet will be listed in our show notes for this episode. Here's how you win it. The first correct answer will be announced in the next episode along with your Twitter username. So once you see that question posted with the hashtag LITNTrivia, hit that reply button, post in your answer. Obviously, the first answer wins. So, the question I have for you guys today on episode number 95 is, what was the first internet April Fool's Day prank? Post your answers to that tweet, and we'll find out on the next episode. Moving right along, before we can find out what the latest tech news is of today, we always have to take a look back in history just to be able to enjoy the fruits of our labor. We'll see where that we're going and hopefully progressing as a culture. So, being that today is April 1st, 2019, and that's no joke, on this day in 1922, computer pioneer Alan J. Perlis was born. He was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He received his undergraduate degree in chemistry from the Carnegie Institute of Technology, later Carnegie Mellon University, and a PhD from MIT in 1950. Perlis went on to establish and head Carnegie's Graduate Department of Computer Science. A longtime developer of programming languages and techniques, as well as an educator, many of Perlis's graduate students have become world leaders in computer science themselves. He taught at Carnegie, Purdue, and Yale over his career and is fondly remembered as the author of classic one-liners that grew into poems. He died in New Haven, Connecticut, on February 7th, 1990. Also, on this day in history, in 2004, the now ubiquitous Gmail service is launched as an invitation-only beta service. By the way, they're celebrating 15 years today. At first met with skepticism Due to it being launched on April Fool's Day, the ease of use and speed that Gmail offered for a web-based email service quickly won converts, and thank goodness we finally had an answer to the dreaded Hotmail. The fact that Gmail was invitation-only for a long time had fueled a mystique that those who had a Gmail address were hip and uber-cool. Those of us who are actually hip and uber-cool didn't mind, of course, as those types of things don't bother hip and uber-cool people. Also, on this day, in 1976, the Apple Computer Company is formed by Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak in order to sell their personal computer kits, later known as the Apple I computer, launching the personal computer revolution. From this point on, the word Apple is associated as much for computers as it is for fruit. And poor Isaac Newton, or whoever, who's the guy who got Apple thumped on the head? I don't know, maybe I need an Apple thumped on the head. There you go. Also, finally, on this day, what was that? In 1826, Samuel Morey patents the first internal combustion engine. However, he didn't have a car to rev it in to impress the chicks. And it's actually a pretty boring internal combustion engine, but it was the start of what's to become the worldwide car revolution. So, now that that's out of the way, let's head on over to the news of today. So we're going to be covering, well, a bunch of news. There really wasn't much gadgets to talk about, except there will be a couple scattered here and there, and we're going to look at some gaming news. But first up, well, Google adds Snake to Maps for April Fool's Day gig. So, you remember Snake? Well, it's back on Google Maps. Snake, the iconic Nokia game first introduced on the Nokia 6100 in 1997, has been reimagined for Google Maps in celebration of April Fool's Day. You can play it on iOS and Android versions of the Google Maps app. Just touch the sidebar option on the left side of the search bar, and you'll see the Play Snake option. There's no actual snake this time. Instead, you'll play as a public transport vehicle, like a Tokyo bullet train, San Francisco cable car, or a London double-decker bus, and pick up passengers on an 8-bit map of their respective cities. There are six cities to choose from: Cairo, Sao Paulo, London, Sydney, San Francisco, and Tokyo. There's also a world option where you pick up passengers from all over the map. Snakes will be playable in Google Maps for roughly a week, a Google spokesperson said, although the tech giant did set up a dedicated site for it. So, moving on, we have some more April Fool's Day pranks if you guys are interested. I don't know if you got fooled or not, but we got a whole bunch of them. Also, this isn't actually a joke. Google is killing off the Pixel 2, Inbox, Google URL Shortener, and Google Plus this week. Actually, Google Plus died yesterday. Oh, thank goodness. If there's one thing Google isn't joking about, it's killing off its products, which it likes to do as often as it creates them. It's time Google is taking the axe to several popular apps and devices as it moves on to bigger and better things. So the Google Pixel 2 and Pixel 2 XL are being discontinued. But while Google has been selling the Pixel 3 and 3 XL for about 6 months now, the Google Pixel 2 and 2 XL are still very good phones, but they're especially discounted right now. If you want one, you'll have to act fast. Google has stopped selling the Pixel 2 and 2 XL through its online store, which means whatever remaining stock is at Best Buy and B&H Photo or wherever else are sure to be extremely limited. Although you can always go on eBay and just pay an exorbitant amount of money for a Pixel if you want it. Also, Inbox by Gmail, the app that launched in 2015, was a revelation. A completely new way to view and organize your messages, Inbox boiled your emails down to a smart task manager with bundles, pins, scheduling, and shortcuts that made managing your inbox a breeze. But over the years, interest in it faded, and it really never got the attention it deserved. Most of its unique features are now part of the Gmail app, though we're still waiting for the bundles, and several third-party apps have adopted Inbox's style. Apparently that's good enough for Google, because as of this week, you won't be able to use it anymore. Also, the Google URL shortener, goo.goal, back in 2009, link shortening was still a novel idea, and Google was one of the first to bring the concept to the masses with the Google URL shortener. It was interesting, and they tested it out. With the rise of Bitly and similar services, Google's own URL shortener became less important to people's workflow, and now, nearly 10 years later, it's gone for good. And finally, Google Plus. Google Plus was supposed to be this one-stop shop for social and support among Google users, but it never really caught on, and I wonder why. And then it was revealed that some 50 million users may have had their name, email addresses, occupation, and age exposed to third-party developers, which accelerated its demise. Not to mention the fact that I tried jamming it into Gmail and then jamming it into YouTube, and that didn't work out. Now it's going away for good, but we can't imagine that anyone will actually notice. Not like you have anyways. Did you notice? Well, what was that? Oh, Google Plus. Where'd it go? I don't know. It's dead. Also, rounding up a couple other April Fool's Day pranks. Well, here's some other companies that got into it. Apparently, T-Mobile's Phone Booth E-Mobile Edition came out. It was announced. It's a cardboard box with a window that rests on your shoulders and transforms any space into a personal sanctuary for phone calls. I love it. T-Mobile putting this little joke in. I know exactly what they're referencing here. Some other easily triggered folks who need a little safe space. I'm thinking, I could be wrong. If I am, whoop-de-doo, it's just a joke, guys. Grow up, seriously. And if it is a problem, maybe y'all need one of these cardboard boxes to stuff your head into. Anyways, Google is also using machine learning to listen to nature. So, you know, the assistant, well, now you can say, okay, Google, talk to my tulip. They actually have a video that that goes along with it. It's called Introducing Google Tulip. I won't be playing any of the videos. By the way, if you want to watch the videos or read any of the articles covered today, head on over to technewsgadget.net/95 and you get the whole show notes. Or if you're listening in the podcast app of your choice, you should be able to swipe or tap or however you get more information, and you should be able to get all the show notes right there. Simply tap on the article that you want to read about. Continuing on, it looks like Duolingo is introducing Duolingo Push. Push notifications can be pushy enough when they pop up on your phone. Imagine having them show up in person at your front door, which is apparently what Duolingo, the language learning experts, imagine. So it's actually a pretty funny video. It's just every time there's this push notification on your phone, somebody actually shows up on a door and knocks, and like, what do you want? Get out of here. Kick them down a flight of steps. Anyways, Rad Power bike riders have been called cheaters for relying on electric power to enhance their mobility. Well, now they can cheat their workout too with the Rad Fit, a stationary e-bike. So y'all can get your electric stationary bike exercise going on with Rad Power bikes. Also, Redbox is going to be introducing Redbox Drops. Why drive 5 blocks to find the nearest Redbox video rental kiosk when you can have one dropped by drone right in your front yard? Well, Redbox on-demand users will get 25% off their first on-demand rental on Monday just for thinking this is hilarious, but this is kind of an interesting idea, just a drone with the whole machine. If you're listening to the audio, guys, you're missing out. There's a whole video that goes along with this. The video to this can be found at youtube.com/technewsgadget or facebook.com/technewsgadget. It's actually showing a hovering drone picking up the whole Redbox box, and it'll drop it off in front of your house. Kind of an interesting idea. Redbox is usually known for making a little bit over the top, but not too outside the realm of being realistically attainable. Let's just say that. So, I guess Fresh Direct is introducing cauliflower milk. Apparently, for those of you who don't want almond, coconut, soy, or regular dairy, well, Calc is taking non-dairy milk to a new level as Fresh Direct is milking cauliflower for this prank. Also, rivals of Aether fans who love the fighting game but wish it was an animal dating simulator instead get their wish with Lovers of Aether. No fighting, just friendship. And you'll have to check it out on Steam to find out more information about that. Roku also got in on the fun by saying, well, you can't find a TV remote because the dog buried it in the couch cushions. Well, that's because this Roku press pause remote is actually for the dogs. So now the dog that keeps stuffing and hiding your remote can actually be the one responsible for changing the channel. So now you just have to train the dog in order to use it properly, not use it as a chew toy. And you guys have another option there. Also, rapidly growing Seattle startup Convoy is tackling time and space concerns, not just in the trucking business, but in how and where employees conduct meetings. Check out meeting circles. Apparently, these are the little circles that they drew all over the place in random places, and apparently that's your meeting space. So, you can hang out there in these awkward circles and have a meeting. So, Lockheed Martin decided to get on the fun, and they said, no one can hear you scream in space, but they might smell you first. Lockheed Martin wants you to smell your best with Vector, a fragrance for the deep space explorers of tomorrow, bringing a good first impression of Earth with them. So apparently, speaking of space, Apollo 11 moonwalker Buzz Aldrin went beyond his usual get your butt to Mars slogan to give Uranus some exposure on April Fool's Day. A couple of days earlier, Aldrin visited Seattle to join Amazon billionaire Jeff Bezos at a gathering in honor of the Museum of Flight's Destination Moon exhibit. and he decided to tweet out, "I'm excited to announce today on April 1st that I have successfully petitioned NASA to rename Uranus to something more appropriate." Or Uranus. One of them. That's Buzz for you. Always goofball. "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." And apparently the humor is going right along with it. Also, Logitech's getting in on the fun. Forget the wireless mouse. Logitech is giving the ubiquitous piece of tech hardware a reboot by introducing the wireless hamster. And you'll actually have to watch that video to find out what the heck they mean by this wireless hamster. You, honestly, by the end of it, you're going to be sitting there scratching your head going, "What the heck did I just watch?" Also, REI Adventures promises exciting trips for travelers around the globe. But what fun is that if you have to leave your cat or dog or donkey at home? Well, REI Pet Ventures are active adventures designed with pets in mind. And, well, apparently Tinder got in on the fun, too, and they said, "Well, can't trust that the guy on Tinder is actually 6 feet tall and not really 5 foot six." Well, they take a swipe at Heightline with height verification. So apparently Tinder got some backlash about this whole entire thing, apparently, that you can't height shame people. Come on, guys, this is a joke. "I can't determine on what kind of height that I'm at." Okay, I'm going to continue on with the story because I'm going to jump off on a rabbit trail really quick here with all the triggered folks that apparently live out in the holes of the internet. It's a joke, guys. Come on. So apparently it's a height verification. We have to hold the phone and then you have to take an accurate photo of yourself and then it'll measure actually how tall you are and then it'll post it and then it'll lock it and then you can't change it. It's actually pretty funny. And let's see, in a secret Southern California facility, a reclusive sound gardener plucks AirPods from trees and out of the soil. Watch 83-year-old Ken Yamamoto cultivate Apple's headphones. "Don't just put the headphone in your ear, take time to appreciate it," he said. "Really look at it and consider where it came from." Or he's known as the sound gardener. So, finally, it looks like, well, promotion from Amazon restaurants seemed to take Nibbles to the next level. Now you can have it delivered, introducing mini sizes for everyone who has ever just said, "I just want a taste." Today only on Amazon restaurants, get free delivery of mini and regular size items. Promo code in our story. So, that's all the most of the roundup news for all the April Fool's Day pranks. Let's move on to some more news, shall we? As I was speaking about before, Cloudflare is adding a free VPN to its 1.1.1.1 app. Now, April 1st is usually a day for terrible jokes masquerading as a truth, as fitting by Google launching Gmail, but Cloudflare says its latest announcement is the real deal. The company has fittingly chosen this hallowed day to announce that its 1.1.1.1 DNS service is getting a new feature, a free VPN. Again, it says this is not a joke. So a DNS takes the web address that you enter and connects you to the IP address of that website. It's a vital but often overlooked part of loading your favorite site. Cloudflare has already become the number two mobile DNS behind Google, which it claims has twice as much latency. Starting today, the app has been updated with Warp, a free and optional VPN. Their pitch for Warp is that it's for people who don't know what a VPN is. And that's a roundabout way to say that it's supposed to make the entire internet experience better, rather than coming with trade-offs like increased latency or slower speeds. Warp routes all of your traffic through an encrypted connection, just like other VPNs, but the company promises it's going to be faster thanks to its massive CDN network. And it's by far the largest CDN network out there, if not the largest. So, if you're skeptical about any offer of free VPN services, obviously the internet has plenty of shady VPNs that claim to preserve your privacy from websites and ISPs, but they're just harvesting your data to make money. Here's the difference with Cloudflare. Cloudflare is addressing this by explaining in detail why it's launching Warp. Warp will not be retaining any user-identifiable data, and it will use outside auditors to ensure this is the case. On the business side, there will be a premium version of the service called Warp Plus that costs money for even faster connections. It also hopes to develop Warp into an enterprise-level VPN offering in time. Lastly, Cloudflare's core business is making its customers' content easier to access, and Warp helps with that mission. So if you're interested in that, it's free to sign up, but there is a waiting list to get access, and you can get it from the 1.1.1.1 app. All right, moving on. This is actually an interesting article. I'm not able to read the entire thing because this is an ExtraCrunch thing. This is TechCrunch's premium article, so obviously I'm only going to tease a little bit about it. So if you're not a member of ExtraCrunch, obviously you're not going to be able to read the rest of the article. And I'm not going to spoil it for you guys. This is actually, finally, thank goodness, really good quality journalism. Great job, Greg and a team working on this. I actually never knew the entire story behind Niantic. This is apparently part two of the series of articles. This article is called Pokemon Go and the April Fool's Joke That Made Billions. It's the morning of March 31st, 2014, and the Google Maps team is about to release its April Fool's Day gig to the world. It wasn't the first time this team has goofed around with an April Fool's Day joke. Google as a whole goes wild on April 1st. Maybe it's for the resulting publicity. Maybe it's to make the brand seem a little more fun. Maybe it's to give creative employees a creative outlet that doesn't seem so mission critical. It's probably a mix of all three. Google has used the 1st of April to launch everything from Morse code keywords to AI-powered garden gnomes to a translator for talking with your pets. They've announced that the company would be switching to Comic Sans as the default font across all of its products. Nerds raged at that one. And one spent a day suggesting that whatever you might be searching for on YouTube, you probably meant to search for Sandstorm by Darude. Most of the gigs come and go, excluding Gmail, of course, which everyone thought was a joke. In most cases, everything is reset back to normal and everyone moves on within a week. This one would be a bit different. Within the next few hours, the wheels would be in motion for the product that became Pokemon Go. Here's a joke that inspired it all. By April 2014, Niantic was still over a year away from its spin-out of Google. At this point, it's still Niantic Labs, an autonomous unit operating under Google's roof. They'd launch Field Trip, which proved to the team that there was something to this idea of focusing around real-world points of interest, but didn't seem to keep people coming back. They'd followed up with their first game, Ingress, which had a dedicated following, but really hadn't made them very much money at that point. Niantic was figuring out what was next and what we should do. So, that's as far as I can spoil the article. If you're a ExtraCrunch member for TechCrunch, you'll be able to read the rest of it, but it's actually a pretty fascinating article. It's like, wow. So that's how Niantic got its own spin out of Google, created this awesome game. I'm still playing Pokemon Go. I don't know about you. Pokemon Go had a prank of its own today. I think it was had these photobombing Pikachus. If they had something else, I'm not really sure because I really didn't look much at it. I've been busy at work today. Guys, I have a full-time job. This isn't my full-time job. This is something that I do for the fun of it because I enjoy it and I enjoy sharing information with you guys. I hope you're enjoying it. If you are, hit that like button and follow if you aren't already. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, some companies, you're like, well, how did they start? Okay, small little side note. I had no idea how Mr. Beast started on YouTube, the guy who randomly donates like $10,000 to homeless people, $100,000 to various Twitch streamers. And for the past 2 years, his videos have gained millions of views. He's currently sitting at 16 million subscribers, an incredible number. I actually watched an interview of him when Casey Neistat was talking to him. It's actually quite a fascinating story. But I love learning about all of this stuff, the history of individuals, how something came to be, the cool ideas behind it, and what formulated into what we have today. So that's why I kind of like learning about history, too, just in case why you're wondering, well, why do you have today in tech history? It's not really important stuff. Well, actually, kind of is, because it actually shows us where we're coming from and where we're going to and why things are the way they are. That's why it pays to know your history, or you're bound to repeat it. Speaking of history, well, Call of Duty's back, and this time with a huge new addition to its Battle Royale mode. Now, if you're unfamiliar with it, this isn't a joke. For the first time since launch, the latest Call of Duty game is getting a major update to its Battle Royale mode, a new map named Alcatraz. As you might expect, the map is directly based on the infamous prison island in the San Francisco Bay, and the photos and video of it look great. Given the relatively small size of the island, the new Blackout mode is geared towards close quarters gameplay. Perfect for this. As you can see above, Alcatraz is full of multi-level buildings where most of the fighting will take place, a major change from the sprawling region-based Blackout map that arrived with Call of Duty Black Ops 4 in November 2018. Alcatraz is a free addition for anyone who owns the game, in case you're wondering, and arrives on the PlayStation 4 on April 2nd. Activision says it will head to Xbox One and PC on an unspecified date, but hopefully soon to follow, depending on how well it does on PlayStation 4. I bet you it will. But in case you're wondering, there is a trailer showcasing the new map right here. So it's also on a Call of Duty YouTube channel for you to watch as well. So enjoy. Finally, the last news that we have for today is, well, the ultimate showdown. You see, who is the best Twitch streamer? Tfue or Ninja? Well, Tfue's fans might point towards the numbers to back him up as the best Fortnite streamer around right now, since Tfue revealed his sub count in January 2019 that coincided with his ever-increasing viewership on the platform. Now, while he might have been on the receiving end of some brutal Fortnite eliminations at the hands of Tfue in the past, Ninja is still a dominating force when it comes to his streaming career, not to mention all the other stuff that he has going on and the media appearances that he's made and merchandise deals that he's signed and advertising deals he's cut. Anyways, so let's compare the two based on five different indicators and ultimately decide which is a better streamer to watch between the two. Although, obviously, we're always looking for your input, so leave your comments in the comment section down below on who you think is the better Twitch streamer, Tfue or Ninja. First off, well, we'll be looking at Twitch subscribers. Let's start with one of the easiest ways to gauge a streamer's draw. Twitch subscribers. Tfue's current following, as we mentioned before, is impressive. In fact, it's very impressive. For a channel to boast over 50,000 subscribers, it just goes to show that his hard work, passion for gaming, not to mention he's pretty darn good at the game, and impressive steady hand is paying off. However, that's not a scratch on Ninja's best total. Ninja once boasted a record number of 269,000 subscribers, as he confirmed on March 7th, 2019, which even he admits would be almost impossible to reach again in the future. Tfue has a long way to go before reaching that total, and he's definitely moving in that direction, but it's difficult to see Ninja's tally being bettered anytime soon. Second, head-to-head battles. Ninja might have the upper hand in some areas, but one that he cannot deny Tfue is that he has the upper hand in is head-to-head contests. On a number of occasions, the FaZe Clan star has schooled the popular streamer, whether that's completely outclassing him with an epic trap kill, which is pretty funny, or outplaying him to the point where he thinks there's a hacker in the match. While Ninja has been part of the winning team for the first competitive tournament in each new Battle Royale, H1Z1, PUBG, Fortnite, Apex Legends, Tfue certainly gets the edge when they lock horns. Third, mainstream status. Whether you like him or not, there's no question that what Ninja has achieved in terms of building a mainstream personality for himself puts the gaming community, particularly streamers, in the spotlight. He's appeared on Jimmy Fallon, been interviewed by Ellen, appeared at the Game Awards, promoted video games such as Fallout 76, and continues to bolster his profile by hosting guest streams with the likes of Neymar Jr. and Drake. Although Drake was like last year and he really needs to start bringing in some other people. He usually sometimes plays with, the pitcher for the Minnesota Twins usually plays with him, Trevor Mays, and man, he needs to play with some more high profile people. Despite not having as much media appearances or mainstream attention, Tfue arguably replaced Ninja as the face of Fortnite towards the latter stages of 2018 and was on fire at the beginning of 2019. For the general public, though, Ninja has become a symbol of what people can do by streaming, and he deserves great credit for building that status for himself, something that Tfue perhaps doesn't want but has yet achieved nonetheless. And fourth, it's not all about Fortnite. People can only take so much flossing and dabbing until they move on to something else. Ninja might be well known as a streamer of the Epic Games title, but he didn't limit himself to just Fortnite. In fact, he's tried Apex Legends and even Sea of Thieves during a brief spell where the game surged to popularity on Twitch at the beginning of 2019. Tfue, on the other hand, sticks to the worlds of llamas and banana skins, possibly to his future detriment. It'd be nice to see him expand his horizons. And finally, well, their criticisms of Fortnite. Many high-profile Twitch streamers tend to use their status to push for major changes in the video games that they play, something Tfue and Ninja are certainly guilty of. Now, there's no doubt that it works either. Videos of either streamer uncovering an exploit or a glitch in the game will gain popularity a lot quicker than the fans' general opinions would because of their influence and following. Plus, they'll see it all the time and it'll be like, ah, Ninja complained about something, Tfue complained about something, we gotta fix it. Tfue has certainly uncovered some shocking exploits, such as that of the Grappler, which soon gripped the attention of the developer and resulted in it in being vaulted, so it can work positively. Blevins' detractors might suggest that he's firmly in that category, but he generally has a more balanced and calmer approach to criticism than Tfue, who has complained so much about the game in recent months that he's now labeled Fortnite as boring and later predicted that it would die in a year's time. Tfue, please play another game. Ninja might chime in with some criticism if big talking points arise, but he's nowhere near as negative with his comments as Tfue, which again begs the question, why not try another game? So, the verdict is, there you have it. We've covered five areas to compare both Tfue and Ninja, looking at the reach, variety, as well as other factors. While both streamers are incredible at what they do and have clearly achieved the pinnacles of potential success from streaming, we think Ninja just edges it at the moment, based on the things discussed. It was pretty close, and that was the opinion of the author here at Deserto. One of these days, I'm going to get the name right. Deserto, I don't know. Dexter? Maybe that's what they're trying to go for. I don't know. Every time I read the website, I think it's like, oh, cool, this is Dexter. It's kind of cool. Gaming news. But I could be wrong. I should probably wrap the... Press the button. All right. Now, that was a pretty long episode. I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit burnt out. But I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thanks for tuning in. New episodes every weekday. The latest in tech news can be found on every major platform, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and Facebook Watch. If you enjoyed this episode, let us know and double check that you are subscribed so that you don't miss the next episode. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, and remember, for the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.